The UPMLA, Steve Aiken, has been talking to me about this scandal as well.
It's a complete disaster. It's a debacle on a huge scale. Bear in mind, the total cost is about $1.18 billion, and of which we're going to have to wear about half a billion of it. I think just going forward, it's an absolute disaster, particularly as the majority of the budget, as we see, it's going to have to come out of the Department of the Economy. And that equates to somewhere about 30 to 35 million a year. We don't know how much it's likely to be. And what's that going to be cut from?
Well, it would be 20 million a year, wouldn't it? It's 400 million over 20 years.
But, Stephen, we don't really understand the full extent and the depth of these costs as well. Because do you think they've got a good handle on the costs when they didn't even have a good handle on what was actually going on? Does 20 million, 30 million, and let's say it is at the lower figure, what's 20 million impact going to be on the economy budget going forward? Does that mean we have to close further education colleges? Bearing in mind our universities are already short of £55 million, does that mean that we're not going to be able to reinvest in our R&D? And I think one of the biggest problems we have to look forward is what does it say to everybody else looking at Northern Ireland PLC, how we can manage ourselves and run ourselves? And that's one of the biggest concerns I have because, you know, previously, you know, having worked in the Ministry of Defence, and we had some fairly horrendous horrendous problems in the past with our ability to get programmes done. But the thing that really strikes me is the lack of responsibility and accountability. Who is responsible for this? Who is accountable for this? I heard Simon Hamilton this morning come on and say, and Simon's probably doing a very sterling job because he realises the disaster that Arlene Foster's in and the problem that she's left us with. But going in and basically saying, well, she did the right process and she listened to the whistleblower and passed the information on and didn't follow it up, that beggars belief. And bearing in mind, you know, we have...
Sorry, how does it beggar belief?
Well,
again, you know, I don't think it's any secret. I'll be getting no Christmas cards this year from Arlene Foster.
Yeah.
But I'll play it straight in this programme. What did she do? She passed the information on to her officials. She's a busy minister. A whistleblower comes to her. She's not going to get into the fine detail of that. What does she do? She says, right, we need to arrange a meeting. A meeting is arranged with her top officials, senior people. She didn't bury it. She didn't ignore it. She passed it on.
And what was the follow-up, Stephen? One of the things that ministers have, and bearing in mind we have special advisers who are paid sort of about 95k a year, this is one of the questions you should be asking. Special advisers are paid to look for the problem areas and what's going on. When a whistleblower comes to you and says, there's something really rotten about what's going on here, there is a real issue here that needs to be looked at, you don't just pass it on and then ignore it. Particularly if you don't understand and you don't have the attuned antenna, political antenna, to realise how bad this is likely to
be. Do politicians not get whistleblowers? A lot?
They do, but one of the things they do when they listen to whistleblowers and say this is a scheme that is potentially fraudulent and is going to cost millions, one of the first things you do is you follow up on it and keep going. That's one of the roles of the SPADs, and that's what the SPAD should be. I mean, do we actually have a department that's fit for purpose? I mean, at the moment, I was talking at a conference yesterday about energy policy, and the tone of the conference was very, very downbeat. Because people were asking questions about when's the North-South Interconnector going to be installed, when is the ICEM, which is going to be the future integrated single energy market, that's been delayed from the autumn next year until 2018. What's happening with the large amounts of renewable wind we're building? Bearing in mind, we're heading towards 40% capacity of renewable wind, or we're building wind farms all over the place to achieve that, yet the grid can only take about half of it. And people are beginning to ask the question, do we actually have departments that are fit for purpose to do this? And these are very, very serious questions, Stephen. And, you know, speaking as somebody who's in the deputy chair of the Economy Committee, and we see things like this coming time after time again. And it's not just that. If you look across the entirety of government, whether it's Charter NI, whether it's the SIF, whether it's NAMA, we seem to be doing a scandal a week. What is going on? Somebody said to me the other day, well, it's hashtag WAD. And I said, what's that? I said, what's Arlene doing? We need some direction and we need some leadership.
Before you go, your leader, Mike Nesbitt, he's seriously calling for Arlene Foster to resign over this.
Yes. Stephen, what do you have to do to take responsibility for something that goes wrong?
So anything that ever happens in the Ulster Unionist Party, the buck stops with Mike?
What do you actually... Arlene Foster's department, when she was there as the minister, has created a problem that is going to cost somewhere in the region of $8 billion. Do you not think that that is a reason for somebody to consider their position?